pardon me. I'm doing a little bit of double duty this morning. Morning, Lake Country. Good to be back. We've been out of town for a couple of weeks, so it's good to see y'all's faces. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Join me in prayer, if you would, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this day. Thank you for the beautiful weather that we have today. We thank you for the weather that we have had in the past few days. So many people affected by strong storms. Would you tell us in your word that we should thank you even in the hard times? So for those of us who have had a hard time in the past few days, we thank you for the struggle. But we also thank you for the rain. Thank you for the blessing of loved ones who have cared for us. Thank you for this church body who is a very loving and caring church body. Thank you for the opportunity that we've had, my wife, to serve you. And I pray that in our absence, this church body has done the same. Trust that they have. We ask your blessing over this time, this service, congregation. Thank you for my father, all of the fathers that we have here today. Thank you for what they teach our sons, our daughters, this generation. Thank you for being our father. We thank you for providing a way for that to happen. For your grace, Lord. Your love, your unconditional love. Join me in your bulletin right quick, if you would, for some announcements. Prayer meeting is, of course, every Sunday at 9 a.m. In the ante room back here behind Brenda, that doorway that goes through right there. Of course, everyone is welcome if you would like to be here that early. There's a lot of great reasons to be there. Joining prayer warriors in this church for an opportunity to pray for the needs, not only of this church, but the surrounding community and people in this congregation. Great time to fellowship and be with the Lord and pray together as one. Y'all would like to be here for that. Every Sunday morning we do that at 9 a.m. Women's Bible study is Tuesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. Terry Buckler is leading the study of the book of Judges at the moment. Of course, all women here this morning, any friends you would like to invite are welcome to that. They also do that back here. Mistaken. Wednesday night services, prayer and Bible study at 6 p.m. Of course, everyone here this morning is welcome. Bring a friend for that as well. Exciting news. I don't know if it was announced while we were gone, but we have a Bible day camp here at the church. Bible day camp ages 6 to 12 will be June 28th through July 2nd. Please lift up in prayer the camp. And if you are able to help, please let us know on the sign-up sheet in the foyer. The next planning meeting will be Wednesday following our services. Again, that service is at 6 o'clock. Directly afterwards, we'll have a planning session for that. If you'd like to be involved, no matter how great or small, it would be appreciated. We're not quite sure how many to expect as far as kids, so the more help we have on that, the better. Father's Day potluck fellowship today, following the services. Celebrating, of course, Father's Day. Everyone is welcome for that. Thank you all for being here. I think the ladies had an announcement. Are y'all doing that now? Okay. Ladies will come up and have something to do. Maybe not. We'll start in Genesis.
Endeavors and labor, and I tell you what, you just add so much, you and Brad add so much to our worship service. Thank you all. I'm looking out and I'm seeing some folks this morning. By the way, let me make one announcement. June the 28th, which is testing 1, 2, 3. By the way, we appreciate Terry Buckler. She he's filling in for Carol. But on the 28th of June, which is a Wednesday night, our day Bible camp will be taking place. Probably we won't be at, probably won't be back home until late afternoon, mid-afternoon to late afternoon. So we are canceling the Wednesday night prayer service for the 28th of June. So keep that in mind. If you show up, probably still have some folks here. We are canceling our prayer meeting service. Carol Aaron Spear, sound man, faithful, always here, doing anything that he can do, is having hip replacement surgery tomorrow. Be sure and pray for him. Let's see, Bill Thomas is still recovering. Jennifer, who comes and plays for us Wednesday night, she's having health issues. Pray for Freddie and the camp while I'm thinking about it. I can't remember the connection. Steve is right. Carol, brother Steve has had a diagnosis of several tumors on his brain. Very serious. We'll be going in for surgery. John Fox is continuing to heal up. Jean, she fell twice. I'm pretty sure that John pushed her, but pray for her and continue the recovery. Stephanie Buckler, heading up our day Bible camp. All of these things need some prayer, much prayer. We're going to do that here in just a moment. But I want to recognize the characters that are here this morning that will be going to camp. Would y'all come up again this morning? We want to pray for you. We want to get a good look at you so that we can call the cops if you cause any trouble. That's not all of them. Got three more that will be going along with two drivers. One's a correction officer to try to corral everything. These are the characters that are going. Pray for them. Joey, would you come up here? Amanda's not here with you this morning, is she? Here is... You got what? That's good. Joey is... Pray for him. He is the driver. And Amanda is the relief driver. Let's hear it for Joey and this group of kids going. No, don't. I didn't dismiss you. Don't go anywhere. Pray for his wife who will be left behind to take care of things around the house. I know she's probably thankful, and she will probably get a lot more rest with y'all gone. We want to pray for these guys. So if you would, and the others that I mentioned in prayer this morning, Freddie, Camp Grace, got a little bit of a taste of what Camp Grace might be like. Lisa gave her account of her being at camp. I know she worked hard. Freddie said she was a great asset in the kitchen, helping Barbie Stahl, which none of you we know, and we appreciate that so much, the people going to work. But pray for, be sure and remember to pray for Terrell as his hip replacement. It may take some time. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning just to be good. Before these folks, Father, you know, there's been a lot of work put into this, a lot of finances that designated, and Father, just people who have stepped up and said, I sure will go and help in any way I can. And Father, that's such a blessing. Look into your word, we see faithfulness. throughout your word. So, Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of Joey and Amanda and Father Jane. Father, bless them extra special good. Ask, Father, for safety and travel. Father, we pray that you would just give each one, plus the ones not here this morning, a great time at camp. Keep them safe. Father, open their minds and their ears, their eyes, and their hearts, Father, that they see, hear, and understand things that you would have them to do, those who know you as Savior. Pray, Father, if there's any who do not know you as Savior, do not know heaven as their home, back heaven as their home. Father, we do thank you for the lady who rented us the van, Lord, and Father, she said that her daughter wants to go to camp with us next week. Just praise God for that and ask your blessings upon those that are here. Day camp that's coming for Stephanie and all the work she's put in. Pray that you would bless that effort. We've tried to reach out into the community, attract young people. Because, Father, without young people, this church, we ask that you'd undertake and bless. Thank you for the fathers that are here. Please gather today. Hear what your word has to say, the fathers. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Now you're just to your pews, not out the door. I was preparing for this day, and I'm like Brad. It's hard to find any songs that are dedicated to fathers. Proverbs gives us a whole chapter what a woman does, asks that she completes her faithfulness. Don't find a whole lot about fathers in the Word, or is a number of verses connected one to another about fathers. Yet we know fathers are very important. I guess you saw my face this morning. Every time I had to stand up and come up and box. My wife and I, we were blessed with 5 children, and I say blessed because they are a blessing. I started to say were, but they still are. Young man back there with hair, head standing up on him. Blessing. He is also part of our family, my family. Father's Day is a very important day in the life of the family. Let me say this before we go any further. Go have lunch, all of the food that's there. I am skipping out because those 4 women, 5 women back there in the back have lassoed me and said, not going anywhere except home with us. We've got to stay faithful. That's where I will be. I'll be thinking about you, be thinking about me, but family, precious to me. I will be going home following the service. You stay, have any place to go, and but I got to looking and was reading a little bit about fathers and trying to get some starting point for this morning. The first thing I ran across this morning was that men should keep your eyes wide open before marriage, half shut after marriage. That's probably pretty good advice. Love is one long, sweet dream. Marriage is the alarm clock. No, that moonlight and roses usually turns into daylight, dirty diapers, and dishes. One more, and then I'll get into sermon. What's the penalty for bigamy? 2 mother-in-laws. A as I got to thinking about where to begin to jump off, I began to think about my father, my daddy. Never called him father. Very seldom did I call him dad, but my daddy. You see, that what we all call father, all us kids, five, called our daddy, daddy. I can only remember my daddy whipping me one time. Needed it. We lived on a farm. He farmed full time, worked full time. By that I mean he held two full time jobs. Would lay in the window right across the driveway from a plot of several acres and could see him in the hot summertime with the windows open and hear him. I would be awakened as I heard the tractor, the old 8N Ford tractor, going back. He laid out crop for the coming season. He worked hard. He only gave me one whipping that I can remember. Not a spanking, it was whipping. Whippings are different than spankings. Whippings are usually accompanied by a small, thin twig which can make you do the St. Vitus dance. And my dad gave me one whipping that I can remember. Gave me a lot of advice, but one whipping that I can remember. The old farmhouse we lived in was a big old farmhouse. Had an upstairs that was never occupied, but it was there for storage. And I can remember not having a refrigerator. Called them ice boxes back then. We didn't have a refrigerator. That was back before people had. Everyday people had refrigerators. If you were fortunate, you had an ice box. My dad, I can remember, was so thrilled when he came driving in after a hard day's work in Dallas and drove into the farm there in the back of his truck. He had a Coca-Cola ice box. Not the kind that you plugged in, but the one that you put ice in whatever you wanted to store you. See, that was uptown for us. We lived in the country. We lived a simple life. And this guy that you're looking at this morning took a pair of his pliers and began my mechanics experience by tightening the drain plug tight that my dad couldn't open it by hand. It had a rough day. I still remember the twig. Felt like he was seeing me, but I was chastised for doing that. I never did that again. In fact, I was afraid of that ice box pretty much after that. I can remember my mama. Never said mama. I mean, mother. Always said mama. My mama never said, just wait until your father gets home or your daddy gets home. Mama was good. That little peach tree outside the house, getting the twigs bare pretty much, ground up to as far as she could reach. Because, you see, I had two older brothers, and they were always in more hot water than I was. So the little peach tree had a hard time putting on new growth. My mama never said, just wait until your father gets home, daddy gets home. He would take care of the altercation, the infraction there. You see, chastisement was instantaneous. My dad, my daddy, worked full-time, as I said, and farmed full-time. My mama always sat next to my daddy. Car. Always. Four consoles. Sat there in the front seat next to my daddy. Not because there were three people sitting in the front, but because my mama sat beside my daddy. That's the way they were. My daddy would always drive with the left hand. the left hand. What'd he do with the right? Put it over on my mama's knee. Broke. Everybody in Mesquite, Texas, when about 2,100 people, maybe 1,800, they knew, saw my mama and daddy, that they were sitting next to one another. See, that's the love that my mama and daddy showed one to the other. I never heard my mama and daddy argue. Never heard my daddy say a cross word. Mama. Never heard them argue about a problem. My bedroom, next to their bedroom, back in the back of that old farmhouse. And I could hear them talk as they encountered, I mean, as they recounted the day activities, what happened around the farm. There was always something that had gone on. Many times, funny things. Sometimes there were things that were very serious with the other family. See, my daddy, not only faithful to his family, but faithful to my mom's mother and dad, grandpa, who lived next door. My grandpa wasn't in good health, and so my daddy always did what he could to help them. My daddy was always attentive to my mama. He always told her when the seams in her stockings or clothes were straight, they were crooked, he always told her. He was very attentive to my mama. You see, I had parents that always prayed for one another, as well as all the children. And as grandchildren came along, they prayed for the grandchildren. You see, my family taught in the little Baptist church in which they were founding members. We were taught that it was important to be in the Word of God with your family every day. We had what was called family altar. That was when everybody gathered in the living room, where the furniture was placed around the walls. None were without in the middle of the floor, but always around the walls. That's where our family gathered, in the living room, in the chairs, the sofa that was there, and we had family altar. My mom would read the Bible. My mom was probably what you would say more vocal than my daddy. My daddy was a quiet man, quiet, drop of a hat. If it affected his wife or his family in an adverse way that was not served, my daddy cared for my mama. My daddy cared for his children. He would have family altar. I can remember my mother reading. She would read the scripture. He would get into the book of Psalms, come across the word Selah. He would emphasize Selah. He would ask us, children, do you all know what Selah means in the original? We didn't know. We barely knew English. Stop and think. Stop and think. I remember that to this day. We had family altar. We would all take turns pray, beginning from the youngest to the oldest child. Then my mama would pray. Hear my mama pray wherever you were in the living room. Daddy was a little different. My daddy always whispered. He prayed. Whispered. One time I asked my mama why it was that daddy whispered. He said, do you listen more carefully? Daddy prays. My dad whispered, my daddy whispered when he prayed. As we think about that and our dads, my mind is drawn to the book of 1 Timothy believe chapter 5, verse 8, where Paul writes to Timothy, and he said, tells Timothy, Timothy, a man that does not, I'm paraphrasing, a man that does not care and provide for his family, worse than an infidel. A daddy, no infidel. He worked hard, worked long hours. Daddy, faithful. He provided for his family. I don't ever remember out to be there on the farm or any other time. As I thought about these things, I turned to Matthew chapter 19, verse 5, and said, for this cause, Christ speaking, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. They twain shall be one flesh. Cleave, to glue to or to adhere to. My mama glued to my daddy. My daddy was glued to my mama. I find in Ephesians, as Paul writes in chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Loving, kind, giving. That was my daddy. See, he loved his family. He loved his wife. Verse 28 of Ephesians 5, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. This thing of loving his wife strengthens his wife. I can remember many times my mom in dishpan, had dishpan. A dishpan where I was growing, where I grew up. I remember my dad walking up beside my mother after a meal before he went out to plow or to work on a tractor or some equipment. My mother, as she was in the dishpan. So men, help men to love their wives as their own body. Paul writes to the church at Colossae in chapter 3, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Never be angry. I don't recall my daddy ever being angry with my mother. At least if he was angry, it didn't show. Never angry, Paul said. Chapter 5, verse 22. Find the relationship between a husband and a wife. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. It means to submit to the leadership of the husband as she would submit to the leadership of the Lord. Faith and trust. Responsibility, the role of a man to love his wife. Never be angry with them. Never discourage the wife through verbal attacks. But wives, you do what's right also by loving your husbands, submitting unto them, unto the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Subject to. I may get some ugly looks from some of you ladies. I'm going to be honest with you and do it as the Word of God says. Be subject to your own husbands in everything. To be under obedience to is what that means. Subject to a loving husband, one who loves you, cares for you, wants the very best for you, considers your welfare above his own, to be subject to him. Paul writes in Ephesians 5:33, decree, nevertheless, let every man, excuse me, let every one of you in particular love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see, reverence her husband. This simply means to hold high esteem, wives. Hold your husband high esteem, appreciation, giving of respect. Matthew chapter 19, verse 5, Christ said and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. They twain shall be one. Look at that earlier. Glue or to adhere to one flesh. Move as one. Think as one. Talk as one. Care for one another. One. You see, a good husband, good father, always, 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 always accompanied. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. Speaking about a woman who happens to be married to one who is unsaved, a man saved. Not what that verse is talking about. Get to that in just a minute. Speaking to husbands, and he says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto his wife, to the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life. Prayers be not hindered. Knowledge. That is intimate knowledge. One of encouragement, of love, of kindness. One of Christian knowledge, appreciating the due relation of the sexes in the design of God. Created male and female, Genesis says. Male and female created he them. The weaker vessel, love her, protect her, encourage her, strengthen her. Act always with kindness and forbearance, accordingly, with wise consideration. What a responsibility we as husbands have to love our wives. Got a call not long ago, but it's been quite a while now as I think about it, of a woman who said, Mike, will you talk to my husband? Husband, we're just going through some tough times. Will you talk to my husband? Immediately, little antennas went up. This light. Talk to my husband. We have problems. It appeared to me, through the conversation, husband in the wife's mind and thought, problem. The only problem. I said, I sure will. In fact, I'd probably like to talk to both of them. You see, I know that we as husbands have a responsibility to love the wives. Bless their hearts. Some wives have the uncanny ability to press buttons. Know exactly which button to press. Husbands, irritates him. Right button. You see, it's a two-way. And we walk that two-way street as one. Whether we're in right-hand lane going, right-hand lane coming back. Walk as one. Titus chapter 2, verse 5 says, to be discreet to the wives, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your husband. He obey not the word, also may without the word be won by the conversation. Wives. Wives, you find your husband a little bit hard to get along with. You do your part over to the Lord. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your husband, loving, kind, doing what wives should be doing in and around the home. And if any husband obey not the word of God, also won by the conversation. Find it in our verse this morning. Genesis chapter 1, 7. So God created man. His image. Image of God. He created man. Male and female. Created he them. As I thought about this, preparing this morning, boy, that's awful choppy. Presentation. Truths of the Word of God. Yet I find, wives, if you want a good husband, wife. Husbands, good wife, husband. See, one. Compared to that woman, yesterday celebrated 67. 62 years. Help me with my math. How long have we been married? What I thought, 67. 62 years with that woman. Good woman. Hallelujah. Going to be going home. We're going to slip away next week, not to Grace Farm. Get away. We'll get away. Just have some time. 62 years. Praying for 67. Glad of 62. Father, we just thank you. For your love, for the example of Christ, how we should, as your children, love one another. Father, we've spent much time in the book of 1 John, 2 John, and we'll be covering 3 John here. Father, it's all about love. What love is, real love. Not the Hollywood love. Father, the love that you would have us to have. Father, we thank you this morning for the fathers that are here. Father, the love that their wives have for them. Father, we can tell. Love that they have for their husbands, and husbands for their wives. Father, we ask that you would make that strong. Days and the weeks to come. Father, we pray for those going to safety, protection. Father, great time. Father, learning more about you. Father, we ask all these things.